blessed Lord. Oh, how they shout as they rise to their home beyond the sky. They're the bride of Christ and they are coming home.
Here comes Mom and here comes Dad. Oh, their faces look so glad as they march and they sing redemption song. Oh, what a smile on their face as they sing Amazing Grace. They're the bride of Christ and they are coming home. And here they come.
Oh, what a
bride of thrill.
Here they come marching up to Zion's hill.
The victory's won as they bow before God's Son. The bride of Jesus is coming home. And here they come. What a bride of thrill. Here they come marching up to Zion's hill. The victory's won as they bow before God's Son. The bride of Jesus is coming home.
Day, can you? If I can get me on here. Okay, now we're there. And I think sometimes it happens. I don't know. I worked hard on it today to get it. And I till we get it. This cover, there it is. I think I found it. Hey, I'm very sorry. I apologize, but wasn't anything I could do until I found a little button there that was not quite as tight as it needs to be. God bless you. Great broadcast today. I mean, a great broadcast today. We're dealing with a judgment throne set in the heavens, the mid-heavens. The judgment throne set in the mid-heavens. We're going to go in a moment to the book of Revelation chapter 4. If I could get people who hear this broadcast to begin to feel the fear of God as we once knew it, as we once understood it. If I could get them to feel and know this fear of God and understand it, understand the beauty of it. It's not an ugly thing. It's not a vicious thing. It's not an evil thing. It's just a wonderful truth that every man and woman must understand the fear of God. If you do not understand the fear of God, you'll never understand this Bible. You won't understand the book of Revelation, that's for sure. You won't understand the kind of things we deal with week after week here on this broadcast. Because we are here, broadcast, telecast, to bring you biblical truths that will get you ready for this last hour. Now, you do understand we are in the last hour. Look at all the signs taking place around the world, and you cannot doubt that the coming of the Lord is at the door. There's no way to doubt that. Now, if you'll take your Bible, I want you to open your Bible today. You know, I've been thinking all week about what would it take to get people excited about the Bible again. What would it take to get people excited about this holy book? This book is infallible. This book is breathtakingly wonderful. This book will bless your life in a way that nothing else available out there to bless you. Nothing. There's not one thing on the face of this earth that will do for you what this Bible will do for you. It will change your life. So I'm asking you, get excited about your Bible. Get excited about studying and learning and knowing the wonderful truths of the Word of God. Get excited. Now, go with me, if you would. Let me read one verse in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. This is powerful. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What if the church world would come to grips with that? What if pastors would get in the pulpits and and preach to people things that would make them sense this awesomeness of God? I want you to know the hand of God is breathtaking. Now, I want to talk especially today about the throne of God. Now, I don't know how much you've read the book of Revelation, but in one chapter, chapter 12, the throne of God is named 12 times. One chapter, chapter 4 of Revelation, the throne of God is named 12 times. In the entire book of Revelation, it is named 39 times. So that everything happening in the book of Revelation is centered around the throne of God. Around the throne of God. And it includes the throne of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the center of the book. But the throne of God is the centrality from which all these great activities are occurring to bring us to the fulfillment of all prophecy. So that when the book of Revelation is over, you have to forgive me, 2 weeks of this. But I promise you, when the book of Revelation is over, the throne of God, of course, will be the center all through it. And then it will be eternity. It will be eternity when the book of Revelation is finished. And we will be in the new city of New Jerusalem. We will be experiencing a new heaven and a new earth. And it's breathtaking to think about it. But I want to talk about the throne. Because the throne of God is so central to the book of Revelation, along with the person of Jesus Christ. It is God who exalts his Son. It is the Father who gave his Son a name above every name. It is the Father who sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary and rejoiced in the triumph and victory of his death. I'm here to tell you, it's the throne of God that you must never forget to see from which all of this other comes, and especially the blessing and the truth of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, remember, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Have you got that? Have you got that registered? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, let's talk about the throne of God. Now, I want to show you something. You may have never seen this. Open your Bible, if you will, Revelation chapter 4, and you will see this. After this, this is verse 1 of Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set. Notice that word set, S-E-T, set in heaven. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now, this is something that much of the church world has not given a lot of attention to. I know that many great Bible scholars of the past did give attention to it. But I want to give attention to it today. Is the throne of God in this particular scripture is not the throne of God in the city of New Jerusalem up in heaven where God sits even now, but it's a throne specially set for judgment, and it's set in the mid heavens, not up in the great city of God, which is beautiful beyond comparison. Nothing like it. Blessed is that city. But I want to tell you, this throne is a judgment throne. and it is set in the mid-heavens, and it will be the center of everything then that occurs in the book of Revelation all the way to approximately chapter 16. And then it will all change back to heaven, and we'll see the temple of God open in heaven, and all the breathtaking things of that city will begin to occur. And that's the place from whence the white throne judgment will be manifest. But I want to tell you, this throne set in heaven is going to be visible to people on the earth. Now that's what I want to capture you with. You see, you can't have a mid-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture or a, you know, in post-millennialism, because the book of Revelation is too clear. It's too beautiful. It's too set in a kind of setting that you cannot really argue with. Here is the throne of God set in the mid-heavens in chapter 4 of Revelation. We've just moved past the church. We now have the saints of God around the throne in heaven that have been raptured. We have in chapter 5 the Father with the book in his hand from which Jesus receives and begins to open the seven sealed book. And then chapter 6, the tribulation period begins. The tribulation period begins in chapter 6. So you've got the throne set in heaven in chapter 4. And you've got the saints around that throne in heaven in chapter 4. And then chapter 5, you've got the Lord Jesus there taking this seven-sealed book from the Father's hand and proceeding to open it. And then chapter 6, the tribulation period begins. Now, I want you to let's talk about this throne. And what it's going to be like when the wicked on this earth will seek to hide themselves from the throne of God in heaven. Now, if I could read a little more of chapter 4, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. White raiment, elders in white raiment. You know the rapture has occurred. The 24 is a type of Old Testament saints and New Testament saints. Only time it's used in the Bible is in chapter 4. Only time it's used in the Bible is chapter 4 at the time of this rapture. When the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints are joined together, raptured, caught up, and they don't go to heaven all the way. They go to the place where this throne, this judgment throne, is set in heaven. Because if you read on, it says, and there was a sea of glass, let me read it. And behold, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, 24 beasts full of elders before and behind. So the great raptured saints, when the rapture occurs, will go to the presence of God the Father at this breathtaking place. Remember the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that we're caught up to meet him in the air. We're caught up to meet him in the air. And here is the meeting in the air. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible is just that harmonious. It's just that perfect. It really is perfect. Now, you know, when you begin to study about this throne of God in heaven, you can't stop with this introduction without I take you to chapter 6 and show you what happens to the wicked on the earth when this great throne is set in heaven and they are able to look up and see it. Does everybody hear me out there? I want you wicked people that don't know the Lord and you've not had time for him and you listen to me because you like to argue back at me when I'm on the air or when I'm on the telecasting. Many are listening to me all the way to Australia, New Zealand. We have listeners all over Europe. I mean, I don't know where all we do have listeners. I think I've been invited to every country in the world to speak to different religious groups and church groups, and I can't go because I'm so busy here and doing this broadcast. It's communicating with all of them at the same time. Would you believe that the very city where Martin Luther, nailed the thesis to the door, Wittenberg. I recently got a letter from there with a check from a church in Wittenberg that said, thank you for what you're teaching us and how you're blessing us here in Wittenberg, Germany. I mean, isn't that amazing? Then I recently got a letter from Japan. We want to translate your material into the Japanese language. Go to it, folks. Anywhere on the world, on the face of this earth, get this book in people's hands. Get the truth of this book in people's hands. And if God honors me to say anything to help you, please use it for His glory. And don't give me any of it, because I don't deserve it. But I want to tell you, this book is breathtaking. And we're living in one wonderful, wonderful hour. I am overwhelmed. Let me check everything here. Let me see if it's running okay. I think we are okay now. I'm sorry for that problem. Had a little line here that got a little bit insecure. Okay? I should always check them, but I don't always remember everything. Okay? What a joy. Now, phone lines, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704-391-0588. And then email. Already they're coming in. Email. I want to hear from you. Anywhere you are around this globe, I want your emails. jrc@paulcreek.org. Hey, I want to give you a gift today that I'm overwhelmed by. The Spirit of the Lord moved on me this morning, and it was so breathtaking to me as I sat in my study early this morning, waiting on the Lord, seeking His face, trying to get His mind. He spoke to my heart to preach tomorrow morning on living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. Living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. And so that's going to be a sermon on the CD. I will give it to you. It'll be available on DVDs, but that you would need to purchase. But a CD, I will give it to every one of my listeners anywhere in the world. I'd like for you to have the CD sermon on living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. And I'm going to warn you now, before you listen to this sermon, whether you come to hear it, you listen to it online tomorrow evening, sometime in the evening, it'll be right here on the internet. You can go right to the front page and click on the sermons over on the right. You'll see me behind the pulpit. Click on that. It'll take you to a list of sermons. And the latest one that'll be up sometime late tomorrow will be this sermon that I'm preaching in the morning on living in the holy city. Living in the Golden City. Let me call it Golden City. Living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. Boy, you need to come hear that sermon. And if you can't come hear it, you need to order it right now. The ladies are standing by to send you a copy of that CD, okay? 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588, okay? Email your request. That's okay. That's fine with me. Left to have your email request. Now, listen to me again. Everybody is not going to live in that holy city who's saved. Only those who receive a full reward. Only those who have lived a sold out life in the labor of the Lord, a set apart life. If you're not separated from this world, don't expect to be part of that great company of the very eagle saints, we call them in Bible study. Eagle saints. The great crowd of the Hudson Taylors and the Dwight L. Moody's and the Charles Finney's and the Andrew Marys and the R. R.P., or what was his name? Missed that one. Tori? Many great saints of God they've been. Gave everything they had. Sold out to Christ. If you want to be part of that bride of Christ, you're going to need to live a sold out life. It will not be reward given to anybody who sits on a church pew or who's been born again and live a good, decent, clean life. That's not who it's for. It's for the people who earn the full reward. People who earn the highest reward. You say, I've never heard that before. Well, you need to read your Bible is what you need to do. Get in that book of Revelation. Or hear that sermon tomorrow. I won't leave nothing untouched if it's possible that will help you understand it. And I have the feeling that if I can make this sermon come alive with you, there's a lot of you will understand and realize you've not been as devoted as you ought to be. You've been living careless and kind of casual and not too much more than a church pew warmer, and you want to go to it and give everything you've got on the altar. I want a full reward. I want to live on the 12th story called the Amethyst story in whatever mansion he may find me rewarded with. And I can't wait. I'm excited. Oh, we buried a man yesterday, Eugene Williams, that had certainly earned a full reward. I really believe that he had earned a full reward. I mean, they were laborers out there knocking on doors. They helped me through the years and gave their heart to the work of God. And I have nothing but good to say about that, dear man. Thank God. We need more of those who love him and labor for him, who are faithful to him. The house of God is never a question. Eugene Williams went to heaven last Monday morning, I guess it was, or Tuesday morning, and he was in church 3 weeks ago on Sunday night. Wednesday night. See, when you really belong to Christ, the house of God is primary in your life. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you don't keep the Sabbath day holy, you're foolish to think you're going to be part of that bride. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to be foolish. Now, the Bible speaks of people in 1 Corinthians 3 that make it to heaven but lose their reward. Yeah, because they build on wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold and silver and precious stones. Hey, we'll go to that before the program is over. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, on the line, on the phone. Grab the phone, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. If you don't believe and you don't agree with me that only the choice saints will be in New Jerusalem, only the choice, only the top of the line, those who get a full reward, the Bible calls it, a full reward, then I would like to help you with it. I would like to talk with you about it because somebody else may be asking the same question. They may be wanting to take me on. You just take me on, okay? I love it. I love it when people disagree and ask me and we talk about it and be friends together. We can agree to disagree, can't we? We can. But you can't disagree with that. There's just no way biblically to disagree that the only people who are part of the bride of Christ are those who get a full reward. The only people who are part of the bride of Christ are those who get a full reward. Those who are just drifty and careless and always insecure and unfaithful. They're like a city without walls. They have no security in their lives. They go from pillar to post, from one place to another. There are people who've been at 20 and 30 different churches in their life because they can never settle down and go to work for God and get planted. The Bible says, they that be planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our Lord. They that be planted. Did you hear the word planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of my God? Well, there are all kinds of questions, and I'm all mistalking, but I love it. I'm teaching you. I'm being your pastor. I'm being your friend all over the world. All over the world. Now grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. Let me take this call. You on line 2. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I have a question. I have a wife from Benjamin is correct.
Will you let me take a moment here? I got the volume too high, and I'm trying to turn it down. I think I got it now. I hope that'll be better. Yes, sir. May I help you?
Yes, I have a good question. I know the right phone judgment is for the, when God judges the sinners. Now, at the right phone judgment, will the Christians see the sinners turned away?
At the white throne judgment, are the sinners turned away? At the white throne judgment, sinners are cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, will the Christians see?
We Christians, who are part of the rapture won't be at the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for those who don't live until the thousand-year millennial reign is over. These are the wicked people. These are people who've lived for Satan and the devil. And the white throne judgment is for the wicked, and so they will be resurrected from hell. and from wherever they may have been, you know, been buried, and they will stand before the Lord, and they will be cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah, I mean, is it the Christians get judged, but like just on the left, right on the left?
The Christians get judged at the rapture, or after the rapture, I should say, at what is called the judgment seat of Christ. See, the Christians are judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible makes it very plain, judgment must first begin at the house of God. So people who know God, people who love God, people who are part of the bride, people who are going to live in the city, all will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. That will take place after the rapture in the heavenly realm, where the saints will be with the Lord, and that will be when judgment will take place for the Christians.
Okay, so that would be for like rewards and things like
that'd be all kinds of rewards. Everybody, the Bible says that each man, each woman will be rewarded according to their surrender. Everybody's reward will be distinctly according to their life. What they have done, what they have not done. How they've lived, how they've not lived. That's why you have the scripture I mentioned a while ago. Let me go there quickly in 1 Corinthians 3. Because many people don't understand. I mean, when you are careless with your life, when you are careless with your life, it is a very dangerous thing. Let me make sure I can find my right place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. I don't know why I did not have this marked. I know that was chapter 4. No wonder I'm having trouble here. Let me go there. Chapter 3, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? And he goes on to say, very plain, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So then, neither he that planteth, he that watereth anything. And then he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation thereof. Let every man take heed how he lays the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, here's what I was getting to the heart of it. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be tried, shall be made manifest. For the day shall come, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's works which he hath built thereupon, if any man's works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now here's a picture of people in church life. Some are on fire for God, and they will be rewarded accordingly. Some are just pew warmers, but they're saved. They live a clean life. You can't get to heaven if you don't live a clean life. They live a clean life, but they're not doing anything. They're just church warmers, living clean, a good representative of Christ's life as far as being born again, but they have no labor. They have no works. They didn't build upon the gold and silver, and the foundation of a great life. And so they will lose their reward.
Because I know the Bible warns about being lukewarm Christians.
Well, he says they'll be spewed out of his mouth. So that's a real dangerous situation, is those lukewarm people who literally, the Bible says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. I think that means cast into the tribulation. In other words, they won't go in the rapture.
Yeah, it's scary, right? It just pays to be
a
little good.
It pays to be on fire for the Lord. That's what it pays.
Right.
Living a life of total devotion to Christ. Why would we want to live any other way?
No, me neither.
Are you living a godly life?
Yes, sir.
All right, give it all to him, will you? And thank you for calling. Let me get another call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hello, sir.
Hey, sir. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you as well. I actually, the question I had is one that's been just grinding away in my mind for a long time, and my mother actually told me recently that apparently there's talk about it, and in the end times, in tribulations, you have the 7 years.
Yes.
And what I always, when I was a little kid, I always believed there would be people left behind to help guide the flock, you know, of the, because I always had the belief system that just because you're in the end of times does not mean you're damned, but you can still find salvation.
Well, there will be a host of people saved during the 7 year tribulation period. Now, good people won't be left behind to take care of them. Good people that are living a godly life don't go up in that rapture, because that's going to be hell on earth. And every man is going to be pretty much, he's going to have to take care of himself during that tribulation period.
And see, that's the belief system that I was given from the Bible.
But well, that's what the Bible makes it plain. Now, if you'll go to Revelation chapter 7, you will see tribulation saints who are saved after the rapture. And it makes it very plain. Listen to me. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation 7. And it says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Who are these? He heard the question. And then he got the answer. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So every person who misses that rapture, if they get saved, they've got to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and then they've got to be willing to die as a martyr. Because in chapter 6, you just saw the multitude of them dying as martyrs.
Okay.
So you don't want nobody, don't let anybody teach you that God's people are going to stay here for the tribulation period. They are not. And the people who get saved after that rapture takes place will get saved at the peril of their own physical life. They will have to answer to the Antichrist and to his great mirage of evil workers, and it will be one of the darkest periods of human history. They will take young girls and young boys and try to force them to take the mark of the beast by raping them, by molesting them. And once a person takes the mark of the beast, they actually take the nature of the Antichrist, so that then they can never be forgiven. Never be forgiven once a person takes the mark of the beast.
I know there's been lots of talk about the I think it's, I'm trying to remember the priest, the preacher that said it. I think I know it's Ben something.
Ben, you talking about Benny Hinn?
I think it's Benny Hinn.
All right, just tell me what he said. We won't worry about the person.
It was on the lines that during those times, what you just said, you know, they will have the choice to be a martyr or...
They'll have a chance to either be a martyr or take the mark of the beast and be damned.
Yes. And being, I have family members that are not of the faith, but, you know, they live a good life. And, you know, mom and family members, we have worries that they will be left behind, and we pray for them. But when it's said, you know, they have to bathe in the blood, again, what exactly is that just...
Well, they've got to trust in Jesus Christ and claim his blood. Just get on their face, on their knees, somewhere before God, and give their whole life to Christ and claim the washing of the blood. It's not something they do with their hands. It's something their heart surrenders to. And so they'll need to surrender their life to Christ, claim him as Lord of all, and become a witness to that. It won't be something they can do privately and tell the Antichrist one thing and tell Jesus something else in private. It'll be the surrender of their life.
Roger. When it comes down to it, I thought in the end of times, in that time period, the seven, that the Holy Spirit was actually meant to leave the earth.
Well, you must understand that there is a specific ministry of the Holy Spirit that occurs right now called the Pentecostal era, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm a Holy Ghost filled person. I pray in the Spirit. I live in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost gives me great inspiration to preach sermons and to do programs like this. That's the work of the Holy Spirit now. Now, that work of the Holy Spirit will conclude at the rapture. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is not in the world. He is just not centered in the world. Right now, the centrality of the action of the Holy Spirit is within the church. That will be transferred back to heaven during the tribulation period, but he will still be present everywhere on the face of the earth. There's nowhere the Holy Spirit is not. You know, he is omnipresent. It's So he must be omnipresent during the tribulation period, but he will not be centered in the church because the church will be gone.
You know what? Thank you so much for your time, sir. You know, that answered quite a few of my questions. And
sir, you don't know how much I love that. If I can help you understand that Bible, I would give my life to do that.
Yeah, we just purchased, it was the Bible on CD sets, because I have a job where I'm actually military, and we drive all the time, so I can actually put it onto my iPod and listen, and that's how I've been trying to refresh myself on the scripture.
All right, make sure that my people get your address so I can send you a copy of the sermon I'm preaching tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, you stay on the line. Let's see, you're on line one. The ladies will pick it up, okay? And you just stay there. If somehow it fails, you call back, because I want to send you some material. You sound like a wonderful brother.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for your call. My, that was a wonderful call. See, I love calls that let us get in here with the meat of this word. And sometimes I get in such a hurry, I almost step over top of my feet, because I want to get the truth to you. I want you to get into this word, and I want you to understand the raptured saints that go up in that rapture are not just going to be a mixed multitude of worldly living, carnal, careless, lukewarm people. It's going to be the folks ready to be part of that raptured crowd. And so the multitudes that are going to hear him say, "I'm sorry, I didn't know you. You hung around my church, but you never introduced yourself and gave your life to me. You never surrendered your life to forsake this world and live for me." The church world is so full of worldliness that you can't tell church people from people who don't go to church. And that's a terrible situation. If you go up in that rapture, it's going to be because you're living right. Are you listening to me? Oh, I don't agree with you. That's okay. We'll disagree. We'll agree to disagree. But what I'm feeling sorry for is the moment that rapture takes place and you realize Brother Chambers really laid it on the line to me and I refuse to listen. Don't refuse to listen any longer. And get that sermon. Get that sermon, living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. Get that sermon. Living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. It's free. All you got to do is call 1-800-338-7884-704-391-0588, and you can send me an email, and I got them all over the place here, and I love it. Don't we all have to stand before the throne of God at the final judgment? I've heard some Christians say that they've already been judged, so they don't have to face a final judgment. What do you say? Nobody in this life has faced the final judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's the scripture. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. When you got the Bible, you got safe ground, okay? And the Bible says the judgment is after death. Once to die, and after that, the judgment. The saints, the Christians, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. The ungodly will be judged at the white throne judgment. Everybody will be judged. I have a sermon I preach on when the books are open. I need to preach that sermon again. I'll do that in a few weeks. When the books are open, maybe you would like to get involved in that. Well, thank you. That was a good one, sir. God bless you for that good question. Everybody will be judged. Now, final judgment. For all the people not going to heaven, aren't they just annihilated? No. Nobody's annihilated. You are eternal. Everybody, every living soul is an eternal being. Every living soul is an eternal being. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." If you're not eternal, how could God have made you like himself? You are eternal. And if you don't serve God, you will spend eternity in hell. Do you understand? The lake of fire, hell until the white throne judgment, and then the lake of fire for eternity. Hell until the white throne judgment, and the lake of fire until eternity. You can't take... Don't take a chance on your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? John 3:16 uses the word perish, which can be defined as disappear or vanish. You know, that is what the modern church world is teaching, that the wicked are just going to disappear and vanish. So we don't suffer eternally, we just vanish. Foolishness, crazy, insane, false prophet, false prophecy, contrary truth. When somebody tells you that, you run for your life. Don't you hang around a man that doesn't believe the word of God. Also, it doesn't make sense that if I'm a sinner for 70 years and not going to heaven, that I should suffer in a hell for the million years. Why doesn't it make sense? Jesus died on the cross to save your soul. If Jesus died on the cross to save you, you think he died in vain? You think because, well, I've been living a sin of 70 years and now I got to spend eternity in hell. That's your decision. He didn't make that decision for you. That's why he sent the cross. That's why Jesus died for you. So that if you go to hell, you have to walk over top of the blood of Jesus. Every time you continue in sin, you're just walking over top of Christ. You're walking over top of the grace of God. You're shucking the Bible and saying, "No, I'm not interested in that old book. I'll take my chances." You can take them, and you are taking them. Many of you are. Oh, God, help my friends out there dedicated to Christ. This is a serious question. The Super Bowl is tomorrow night. Is it a sin to watch the Super Bowl rather than go to church tomorrow night? All right, let me quote the Bible. The Bible said, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Have you ever studied that word holy? It means separated, set apart to sacred use. You can no more go to church on Sunday morning and then a ball game on Sunday night and claim yourself to be a Christian. You are being hypocritical if you claim to be a Christian and you in a theater on Sunday. I'm here to tell you that. You are hypocritical. You're claiming something contrary to this Bible. Well, let me give you the Word of God, okay? The Bible said, if you say you love me and keep not my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Now, that's the Bible. That's in the book of 1 John. That's the brother, the half-brother of Jesus who said that. The half-brother of Jesus who said that. Do you hear me? I want you to understand. No, John the Revelator. I made a mistake there. It was John the Revelator in the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I want to tell you something, friend. I want to tell you. He said very clearly, if you say you love me and you don't even keep my commandments, he said the truth is not in you. He calls you a liar, the Bible. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, the Bible, yes. I'm just giving you the truth. This is why a lot of people don't like me, is because I give you the truth. I don't dare give you anything but what this Bible says. Let's take this call. You're on the air. May I help you, please? Well, line two is not on the air, okay? Line two is not on the air. Line one, are you on the air? Are you there?
Yes, I have a question.
Okay.
Could you tell me what would happen if they forced the mark of the beast upon you?
What would happen? Again, say that. Ask that question again.
You did not want to take the mark of the beast, but they sometimes, some way held you or chained you and put the mark on you anyway. What would happen?
I never heard that question before. If they held you, nobody can give you the mark of the beast by just walking up to you and stamping something on your head. The mark of the beast is a surrender to Jesus, to the devil. It is a surrender to the Antichrist. It has to be a heart matter. And so somebody stamping a mark on you would mean absolutely nothing. It is your choice. You take the mark. And now, you've asked me a question. I never thought about somebody walking up and stamping you. It won't be like that. I can't tell you all the way it's going to be. But I can tell you one thing. When they give you the mark of the beast, you will immediately have the nature of the beast. And you can never repent. You understand that?
Yes.
You know, you asked a question that is almost unanswerable. Somebody walks up and just stamps. Nobody can give you the mark of the beast by slapping you with a stamp. The mark of the beast is something internal. It's a surrender of oneself to Satan, to the Antichrist. It's a place where you actually are born again to the devil. Just like a Christian is born again to Christ by the Holy Spirit, by an evil spirit, they'll be born again to the devil. Okay?
Okay.
God bless you. Call me quickly, 1-800-338-7884. That was an unusual one. I must admit it blew my mind to try to answer that rightly, you know, because there certainly is no Bible question or answer, right? But I want to tell you, we're living in an unusual hour. If ever you've given it all to him, I pray you will. Well, I got questions here everywhere. Anybody else send us a question? Joe Chambers, JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. Grab your phone. Grab your phone right now. Grab your internet. I want your question. Now, I do want to give you a copy of my sermon in the morning. Let me spend a moment here. This is one of the biggest questions that the church world has never tried to help people with. And that is, who will be part of the bride of Christ living in the city of New Jerusalem? Most people have this mistaken idea everybody will be part of the bride of Christ if they've ever been, you know, saved, ever named the name of Jesus. Are they just, you know, casual Christians? But they still, the Bible says very clearly, and the nations of the earth which are saved shall walk in the light of the city. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now that's Revelation 21. It's a powerful verse that says the people of the earth who are saved, they won't live in the city. They will live in the light or walk in the light of the city. The bride of Christ is the most wonderful company of people on the face of this earth. They are godly beyond any question. They live only for Christ. Everybody knows that's a Christian. Everybody knows they're separated from the world. They live wholly for Christ. Oh, I want to live that way. Don't you? I want to live that way. Why would I want to live any other way? You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes. It's my understanding that if you've heard the God's word before the rapture and you've rejected Christ and the rapture comes and you're left behind, you don't get a second.
Well, let me qualify that if I can. You're partially right, but not completely right. The Bible says very clearly, and listen to this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. There is a multitude of people in the tribulation period that had all kinds of opportunity, but they just didn't care about the word of God. They didn't care about what the Bible said. They lived like they pleased. Those people will never have a chance. They will be given deceivable spirits. They'll become reprobates. God will forsake them, and they will believe a lie, and they'll be damned. But then there's a multitude of people that's never really heard the witness of the Lord. They've been around it, but they've seen a lot of hypocrites and a lot of church people that live any old carnal way. They've seen so many church fusses. They don't know how to deal with it. There's a lot of people who really are not saved, but they're decent people that respect God and respect the Bible. Multitudes of them will have a chance after the rapture, and multitudes of them will get saved. You can't read chapter 6 and chapter 7 and not, this is Revelation, and not know that there's a multitude of people that get saved after the rapture. Now, have I helped make it a little understandable?
That is my understanding.
Well, your understanding doesn't, if it don't match the Bible, you change your understanding to match the Bible. And the Bible says that after the rapture, there's going to be, let me read it to you. I want you to get it from the Bible, not just from Joe Chambers' lips, okay? Let me read you a verse right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Chapter 6, Revelation, I'm looking fast, and it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge them that dwell on the earth? And white robes was given unto them, and every one of them. And was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed even as they were. And that's Revelation 6. The tribulation period has already started. The first four seals have already gone forth. And here is people who've gotten saved now, and the Antichrist has killed them. The evil people of the world has murdered them, and they are dead, and they're crying out for mercy. And God says, just rest, because there's more to come. There's more people going to be saved. And so you've got a clear picture. Then you go to chapter 7, and it says, these are they which came out of great tribulation. I read that a little while ago. Okay? You know, many people have heard that, and they just cannot change to a new understanding. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Well, so, Brother Chambers, this is Brother Sam Burke in Lawrence, South Carolina. How are you doing today, bro?
I am doing fine, sir. How may I help you?
I was just wanting to comment. I heard the woman's question earlier about taking the mark involuntarily, and I think I know what she was alluding to. The day and time we live with the technology being what it is, you know, they have that chip. And a lot of people look at that chip as the mark.
But you see, a chip cannot be the mark. Even a stamp on your forehead cannot be the mark. It's got to come from the Antichrist. It's got to be a matter of choosing him as the one whom you will follow and serve. It's got to be a total rejection of Jesus Christ. So people have all kinds of ideas of what the mark's going to be. But when the Antichrist is here offering his mark on a worldly basis, he will not want to give it to somebody who doesn't want it, because he won't show allegiance. And he will not, there won't be people out there trying to force you to take them. They'll be trying to force you, but they're trying to be force you to make the decision to take the mark, not to take it against your will. Because Satan will want your will. He won't just want your hide.
Well, if you don't take the mark, you can't buy food or anything like that, correct?
That's right. So when you take the mark, you've sold your soul to the devil.
The day and time we're living in now, it's with the government being involved in it as they are, and without the chip and the one world currency, then all the word coming forth from the Bible is coming true today, and we see it prevalently throughout the world, not just America, but throughout the world. And this chip is what's going to be the currency.
Well, but you've got to understand that chip is not all of the mark, okay? And let me move on. The chip, it may indeed be used, but the mark is identification with the Antichrist. You understand? Absolutely being identified with the Antichrist. And so that can't happen unless somebody wills to do that.
Right. But I just wanted to clarify, I think, what the woman's question was. What if they took it unwillingly? And that would be probably
what. But that's not what the devil wants. The devil wants your hide. He wants your soul. If you're not willing to give him your soul, he's not going to try to put a mark on you just to fool you. I don't think that will happen. I think that's just an imagination that gets people all thinking wrongly. So I would say let's blunt it and go ahead. Thank you, sir. Hey, give us a call quickly. I mean, this has been a great program. I hope I've helped everybody. I try to be very patient. Let's take the same one and beat it to death. There's too many things here that we need to understand. But you need to understand, if you want to be part of that bride of Christ, and you want to be living in that city called New Jerusalem, you need to get this sermon that I'm offering today. I know there's been a lot of people, I think, that want that. Very important, living in the golden city, New Jerusalem. How many of you want to live in the golden city? Raise your hand, I tell you, if you want to live in the golden city. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Bible has confirmed that you are so living that you can be part of that holy city? That's what this sermon is going to be all about. Giving you perfect assurance, knowing if you obey these things in the Bible and live accordingly to these divine scriptures, you cannot fail but to be part of living in that golden city, New Jerusalem. But there'll be saved people by the tens of millions who will not live in the city because they live too carnal lives. They've been too busy making money. They want men. There are plenty of men out there work two or three jobs to make big money. They don't have time for the church. They don't have time to be involved in the kingdom. When there's a revival at their church, they may go one night simply because they live half-heartedly. And they good people. They've been born again. And those people are not going to live in the city of New Jerusalem. Now, that's as plain as I know how to make it. And now, you know, I don't know it all, but I know it's a dark hour, and it's time to live wholly and utterly for Christ. Well, I got all kinds of questions here, and I can't get to all of them. Somebody wants me to talk about vitamins. I meant to do that again today. I mentioned last week about the idea of calm. If you want a catalog of good vitamins and good nutrients, you call and say, I want the little catalog so I can look at these things. I'm going to try to start doing more of it, but I have so little time anymore. It's almost unbelievable. I know of a mainstream church in Charlotte that is currently teaching the book of Revelation in the Bible study class. They say it is a symbolic and allegory, not specific prophecy. What do you say? That's a big thing. is that the book of Revelation is simply allegory and symbolic and not a prophecy. How do they get that? Do they get it from the Bible? What do you do with scriptures like the first? Let me read it to you. I mean, you can't get any plainer than this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Come to pass, and he said, and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. Now, you can't throw those things into some symbolic language, some symbolism, some allegory. And those who do so are lying prophets. Lying prophets who don't understand God. They have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit, or they would have been taught differently. They're simply teaching what some professor taught them in some seminary somewhere. And they're just spouting the same stuff. And it's a sad picture. It really is a sad picture. But don't think they're going to get by with God doing that. Do not think, and do not give them a pass, because they are lying prophets who are teaching contrary things to the Bible. And I hate to make it that plain, but I don't know any way to say it differently. It is so important that we take this Bible and believe it like it is, that we take this Bible and live in it like it is. Now, the mark of the beast, what will that mark be? Well, we think of it as 666, and that is the biblical description. It will probably be much more than that. It may literally include three sixes, or it may be that was language that he was using symbolically, because to describe it would you know, the change in technologies of all these years. The Lord won't try to give us some technological picture of it. What the Bible makes it plain, it's a worship of the Antichrist. It is a surrender of your will to the Antichrist. It is the devotion of yourself before the devil and before his false prophet. And before his false servants. And I'm telling you, friend, don't you have to make that choice. Live right now. I mean, get your life so on the altar, so surrendered to Christ, so devoted before the Lord. I mean, so absolutely on the altar to Christ that you live only for him. You live only for his kingdom. Now, let me take you. I meant to do this earlier, but I want to go to Revelation 6, because I want you to see, very important, that you see that during the tribulation period, the people on the earth will actually be able to look up and see this throne. I told you at the beginning, this will be a judgment throne. It's not the one in the temple in heaven now where God is on his throne. This is a special throne that is set in heaven in chapter 6 of Revelation. Now, I want to tell you something before I go on. Next Saturday, I'm going to deal with all kinds of heavenly things that are taking place that would indicate that the preparation for that throne set in heaven is at hand. Sounds of all descriptions are being heard at different quarters over the earth. Different phenomenons are taking place in the heavens. Birds and animals of every description are falling out of the sky in literally multi-millions to the ground dead. Things that are happening in our world would indicate something strange is certainly happening to our whole globe. I believe that the time of the Father's judgment throne being set in heaven is right at the door. Now, you've got to understand, that throne will be there when the rapture occurs. So, how long can that throne maybe be set there in preparation? Is it already maybe in the heavens? Will we see something soon that may indicate something spectacular up there? Maybe just see the light of it and see the glory of it? I don't know. I just know that I'm here to tell you we are so close that I'm going to give you next Saturday every kind of thing I can find out there that suggests something is happening on a worldwide heavenly scene or heavenly order. Something is happening that suggests something beginning to transpire and something in preparation. You know, God always moves rightly and in an organized fashion. And I'm here to tell you, we're so close to the coming of the Lord. I don't have the words to tell you. Now, I want to give you this sermon. I remember the name of it, Living in the Golden City, New Jerusalem. Do you want to live in that golden city? I want you to call and get this message on CD. You can order it on DVD if you like. You would need to pay for that. And the number to call is 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588, the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-337-884. Now, you can email JRC at paulcreek.org. That's on email. JRC at paulcreek, PAWCREEK.org. I want to hear from you. Now, if you can't hear that sermon tomorrow, I hope you will come. I hope you'll go to the internet sometime late Monday and you'll have it there to watch. Now, not just hear it, but we are now on the internet by video. So you can watch the sermons on Sunday morning right here from our church on our email. Okay. On our website. The website is paulcreek.org, PAWCREEK.org. I'll put it up in a moment on the screen, okay? Because I really want you in the middle of this. I want you in the middle of this. I want you to get yourself ready. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I don't know when he's coming. I just know he's coming. And I just know I'm getting ready for him to come. I'm getting myself ready for him to come. I want to go with him when he comes. I want to go with him when he comes. And I want you to go with him when he comes. So get your soul ready. Get your life ready. Get yourself close to Christ. I mean, get yourself so surrendered to the Lord that there's no doubt of where you're living and how you're living and how close to Christ. Let me go here to see if there's another revelation. I've already got that one. I'm trying to be very careful to read you the ones I can read. If you send me big, long paragraphs, I won't read them. I can't sit here. My mind's not capable of that. Now, please understand, preaching Sunday morning on living in the Golden City. Oh, would you like to live there? Hey, you can have that as a CD, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Now, I think this has been a really special broadcast. I've enjoyed every bit of it. I love doing these kind of things for what they can mean to you and to try my level best to be a blessing to you. There's nothing I like better than that. You know me that good. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. There'll be a little music here, and there'll be some emails and addresses that you can get right here. Not addresses, but emails and phone numbers you can get right here on the screen as we disappear. Okay? I love you. I love you. I love you. Don't miss next week. Signs in the heavens that tell us the throne of God is being set. The final judgment is at hand. The final judgment is at hand. No doubt about it.